Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008. A couple of weeks ago, in fact, I think it was last year sometime, we reported about Israel banning some of the NGOs. And, of course, the problem there was linked to terror, and it made international news. What was interesting was there wasn't that much of a negative outcry, which made me suspect that there was no problem in Israel doing that at all. But now it does seem as though there has been a follow-up on that. And the Netherlands have ended funding to one of the six Palestinian groups blacklisted by Israel. We are joined this morning by Sean Sachs. He's a senior researcher at NGO Monitor. Sean, good morning. Thanks for joining us so nice and early. How are you doing?
Good morning, Howard. Thanks. Early morning to you.
Good morning. So there were a number of these NGOs listed that were banned by Israel. Give us a sense, an overview of how this came about and what the latest is.
Well, going back for many years, it seems that the PFLP terrorist organization had actually shifted and founded a number of what they called human rights NGOs, which were actually just cover fronts for funneling money and another avenue for international Israel bashing. And they managed to actually get a lot of money, in some cases millions of euro, from various countries for their so-called human rights group.
Right.
In October of last year, the Israeli Foreign Ministry and the Israeli Security Services actually named six organizations that they said, look, these organizations are not human rights groups. They're actually terror-affiliated organizations. And they present evidence to various European countries, and a number of European countries publicly said, well, yes, but they're still human rights groups, or we're going to continue funding them. And what we've discovered in the last couple of weeks, well, starting with the Netherlands in the beginning of January, actually ran their own independent investigation and discovered that 36 people in one particular NGO were affiliated to the PFLP, including 12 board members. And two people who had actually been implicated in the murder of an Israeli a couple of years ago. So they stopped funding for one of these NGOs called the Union of Agricultural Workers Committee. And now we've discovered that.
I love how innocuous these names are, hey? The Union of Agricultural
Workers Committee.
Yeah, like it actually almost sounds boring.
Right, and then there's another organization which we discovered a couple of years ago, which is also named by Israel. They call themselves Defense for Children International Palestine.
Right.
Again, it sounds very...
It sounds like something I would want to give money to, absolutely.
Right, and then we dig into their history and we find that not only are they affiliated to the PFLP, some of their children activists and researchers, the people who are supposed to look after children, are actually, not only are they members of the PFLP, they're armed terrorists in some cases. Their workers have been killed in shootouts with the IDF.
Unbelievable. It must be encouraging, though, that countries like the Netherlands are looking into it, taking it seriously, and at least stopping funding of some of these organizations.
Oh, absolutely. And it's not only the Netherlands. What we found very interesting was, starting from this week already, publicly, the European Union said that they're going to continue funding these NGOs. They think they're very important. They didn't find any evidence to terror. But then we found documentation that in private, actually, the European Union has suspended funding to at least two organizations because they're already suspecting terror ties. So there's a very interesting dynamic where in public, a number of these European countries are saying, well, we'll continue funding. There actually really are human rights organizations. And in private, we're seeing more and more that they're realizing, oops, we should not have been funding these guys. They really are terrorists.
It also must be very significant just to make that shift from the assumption that these are humanitarian organizations to terror organizations. Because once you start, or once you accept the fact, once they accept the fact that what you see is not what actually is, then everything shifts. Because then I would imagine every organization that is presented this way comes under some form of scrutiny so that we don't land up in the same situation again. That is an important, I think, and positive shift.
Absolutely. It's very important. And I think it's also related to what happens in South Africa a lot. Mm. many organizations do a lot of work, but there should always be a healthy amount of, say, skepticism and scrutiny to wherever you give your money. And in the case of NGOs, especially in Israel, we're talking about millions that came from European governments. Nobody asked questions. The assumption was anybody that has the name human rights or defense for children is a good group. And now, like you said, that shift is taking place because they realize, wait a minute, we actually do need to look into these guys because they're not always these good-hearted, well-meaning people.
Despite what they call themselves.
And I
think that is what's confusing. In terms of your organization, are you seeing more success or more openness to hear this type of concern?
The answer to that is twofold. On the one hand, we've been working for close on 20 years, trying very hard to expose the nature and the problematic relationship of just of these NGOs and how they've managed to bring in millions of money, millions of dollars and euro unchecked. And now in the last couple of years, we've actually seen people starting to realize that this information is important and vital because NGOs do need to be reviewed. But at the same time, we're also seeing that a number of the donor governments, particularly in Scandinavia of all places, rather than admit that they've made huge errors in judgment in the past and given money to problematic organizations, we're finding a troubling lack of transparency where documentation on funding that should be publicly available is now being hidden. We've even seen, for example, in the UK, a number of their funding and the receipts that are supposed to come from NGOs are suddenly being blacked out, and the UK government is giving all kinds of excuses why this information is no longer publicly available. Mm. So it's twofold. On the one hand, yes, we're seeing success in that governments are realizing that there should be more scrutiny of where their money goes. On the other hand, they're defending themselves, and rather than acknowledging that they've made mistakes, they're just hiding the information.
Well, I guess the other problem is that until now, because there's been no demand on these so-called NGOs or the so-called humanitarian NGOs to even really pretend, because they would get away with pretty much anything. Now that there is greater scrutiny, it does force them, if they are going to continue in this way, just to go to bury it a little bit deeper so that it is harder to spot.
Yes, and that in itself is a problem because a lot of the funding to these NGOs is in the name of human rights, democracy, transparency, but they're doing the exact opposite. And there again shows the problematic nature of unchecked government funding to human rights NGOs.
In terms of the six that were listed by Israel, with the Netherlands talking about one of them, what's happened to all of the others?
So all of them have received some type of funding cut, either from the particular individual European countries or from the European Union itself. At the same time, from what I understand, the Israeli authorities are speaking to many of their other funders, including the Canadian government. We are doing our best to present this information officially to various different governments and show them that, as opposed to what the Israeli government is saying, we've also been researching this for a number of years. And we're also seeing the NGOs themselves are clearly panicking because they are doing their best to defend themselves with all kinds of interesting excuses. One of the most interesting we've seen by these NGOs is they're meeting with ambassadors or members of parliament and saying, well, just because a terrorist organization has members in our group, and just because this terrorist may have killed somebody, and just because we made a point of not asking him, are you a terrorist, it doesn't mean our organization is affiliated to a terrorist, in no way.
Incredible. Absolutely unbelievable. But either way, at least progress is being made. And it is also thanks to organizations such as yourselves, senior researcher at NGO Monitor, Sean Sachs. Thank you for taking the time to explain that to us, and keep doing the good work that you do.